So today, children, I thought of discussing about the poem To the Evening Star by William Blake. And we have this poem for grade 10 for the first term, right? So first we will discuss about the poet. When we talk about William Blake, he was born in London and he was one of the most renowned poets in the history of English literature. And he was born into a working class family. And he was belonged to the Romantic period. He left the urban life and found refuge in the rural village as he was against industrialization. So children, today we will discuss. As earlier, can you remember last time when we did Eagle, we were talking about Romantic period. So today, I will just remind you a few points about Romantic period. Anyway, this when we talk about the Romantic period, during that time, there were no kings or queens. So Romantics were naturalistics. They believe in nature and supernatural celestial objects. They use lot of symbols. They considered on their beliefs and imaginations. Nature is not only the major source of poetic imagery, but also provides a dominant subject matter. And children, this romantic people, these poets, they rejected industrialization. Can you remember when we were talking about the Eagle, I told you, right? So William Blake, as a romantic poet, escaped from the industrial atmosphere and he takes refuge in nature. These romantic poets, they believe in the natural goodness of humans, which is hindered by the urban life. The subject of romantic poetry were meant to the ordinary people. Okay, so now we'll just now we have discussed about the poet and we have discussed about romanticism. So now this is time for us to talk about the poem. So To the Evening Star. Look at the topic. To the Evening Star. What is this evening star, children? What do you call this evening star? Have you seen this evening star? Yeah, most of the children, they have seen this evening star. Where can you see them? See this star? Yeah, in the western sky. Right? During the twilight, we see the evening star. So in Sinhala, what do you call the evening star? We call it the Irabata Taruwa, Tani Taruwa, Sikuru Taruwa, Pahan Taruwa. Have you heard of it? Right? So this is known as the evening star. Right? So this poem is based on Roman and Greek mythology. Evening star is known as the morning star too. Why do we call the evening star as the morning star? Because children, this star we can see in the morning also. Till dawn we can see the star, right? So Romans considered this star as Venus. Have you heard of Venus? We know there is a planet Venus, right? So Venus is the goddess of love, beauty and fertility, right? And most of them, they have compared women to Venus because of these three qualities. The Romans and Greek people worship celestial objects, right? They believe in these objects. And Venus is the most beautiful and the brightest star in the solar system. This is the brightest object in the sky next to the sun and the moon. And Venus appears in the western sky in the twilight before the other stars appears. And the other thing, children, when we consider about Roman and Greek mythology, these ancient people believe that planet Venus is very gentle, cool, and beautifies the earth. And those who are in it, they believe that the women comes from planet Venus because it is gentle and because of its cool atmosphere. Okay, children, so we will talk about the poem "To the Evening Star." When we talk about the evening star, look at the topic, children, "To the Evening Star." Now, can you see William Blake is addressing someone? That's why we call "To the Evening Star." And we have another poem in our anthology, "To the Nile." So here in these two poems, we can understand the poet is addressing to a certain thing, right? That's why it says "To the Evening Star," right? When we are addressing to a person, we use this. So what is the technique he has used here? He has used, we call it an ode. And look at the lines of this poem. Look at the lines of the poem. The structure of the poem. What type of a structure is it? When we count it, it belongs to 14 lines. As children, you have learned it. How? What do you call these type of poems? We call it a sonnet. But if it is a sonnet, children, there are a lot of... now, normally we say it is consists of 14 lines. But there are other various things that we have to look in a sonnet. But here, Putta, look at the rhyming scheme. There is no rhyming scheme here in this sonnet, like the other sonnets. So this is an unrhymed sonnet. So Putta, we have learned sonnets. We say there are octave and the sestet is there. But Putta, here, though we can divide it as an octave and a sestet, children, here, the rhyming scheme is not that. It's not rhyming, Putte. So we consider this sonnet as not a well-rhymed sonnet, right? Now, when we talk about this, now remember, children, this William Blake, as you know, he went against the industrialization. So he was in love with nature. And the other thing is, he considered nature as something holy. So when we read this poem, children, we can understand that it is something to do with nature. But if you think it in another way, children, it can be, there may be a deeper meaning also. Maybe he is hinting something on this industrialization, right? So in your examination, Putta, right, in your examination, most of the time the questions they ask you about nature, the beauty of nature, or they have used lot of symbolism, or they might ask this in a different way, right? I will discuss these things after I finish discussing this poem, children. Then you will understand, because you will not know what am I talking about. So to talk about these type of things, I think it is better that I discuss the poem, right? Now look at the poem. Look at the first line, children. "Thou fair-haired angel of the evening, now whilst the sun rests on the mountain's light, thy bright torch of love, thy radiant crown, put on and smile upon our evening bed. Smile on our loves, and while thou drawest the blue curtains of the sky, scatter thy silver dew on every flower that shuts its sweetest eyes. In timely sleep, let thy west wind sleep on the lake, speak silence with thy glimmering eyes, and wash the dust with silver. Soon, full soon, dost thou withdraw. Then the wolf rages wide, and then the lion's glares through the dun forest. The fleeces of our flocks are covered with thy sacred dew. Protect them with thine influence. So, Putta, when you look at this, as I told you earlier, there are a lot of celestial objects, and it's something to do with nature, Putta. But there may be other meanings. So we'll consider this poem as a nature one, right? Now the first line says, "Thou fair-haired angel of the evening." So children, when you look at this first line, there are so many techniques here. Now when you say thou, whiles, right, like that, thou, there are a lot of thou, thy, like that, whilst, the lot of things are there. When we use these type of words, what do you call them, Pute? Because these words can be seen in the Bible. What do you call this type of language? You call them archaic language. And they say, now they consider this, now they have compared this evening star to Venus, right? So this evening star is Venus. So now they say, this the poet says, thou fair-haired angel of the evening, you're like a fair-haired angel. That means with your hair, look at your hair. Now you have seen, now we can imagine about an angel, right? A long hair, not a brownish color. We can say a golden color or a silver color. Here I feel it's like something silver, because we see the evening star as something silver, right? They have mentioned the silver dew. So we can say, fair-haired angel of the evening. You're like an angel with your hair. It's silver color. So we can see here, they have, compared Venus to an angel. So there is a metaphor there. And what about personification? Because you're a fair-haired angel, right? There is personification, fair-haired angel, so, and like that. And now when we go to the second one, now whilst, I told you archaic language, the sun rests on the mountains. The sun rests on the mountains. Now you know, children, we can see the evening star during the twilight. What is the twilight period? Now, sometimes I have seen the evening star. I like to see the evening star. Even like a small child, I go out and I pull my children out and I say, shall we go and see the evening star? Like that. I am also like a small child. I like to see the evening star. So at about 5:30, I see 5:30, 6:30. There is, I cannot say an actual time, but till 7 I see it, right? So they say, so at this time you can see the sun sets. The orange color sun, you can see it's going to sleep. Sleep means it's going to another side. It never sleeps, neither. So it's like that. So, and what about the sky? What is the sky color? Sometimes pinkish color, orange color, red color. So we consider the sun has gone to sleep after a tiring day. You know, the sun comes around 6 o'clock or 6:15 or 6:30, and till 5 o'clock it's there, and it's going to rest now, right? So sun again rest. Again, we see personification there. Where are it going to rest? On the mountain. Because when we see the mountain, we can't see the sun. It goes to another section, right? Then they say, light thy bright torch of love. So now they Tell Venus, please, bright your torch. What do you mean, bright your torch? Again, it is a metaphor. It compared to this star, little star, the light. But it should be with love. Bright your torch. Now the sun is no more there, so we need light. But your light, your torch should be with love, because she's beautiful. I told you, we consider Venus as beauty, fertility, and love, like that. So it's like that. Because of that, they say, you bright your torch with love. Thy radiant crown. What do you mean, thy radiant crown? Again, there is a metaphor. Thy is an archaic language. So what is thy radiant crown? You put on. They say, put on. Put on means wear your crown. What do you mean, wearing your crown? When when a person wears a crown, it shines. Again, they say, to shine your light. Shine your light. Radiant. Radiant means lot of brightness. When you have seen the Insta, right? Brightness. Put on and smile upon our evening bed. Again, there is personification. Smile. You smile. Smile means, because they consider evening star like a woman, like an angel. You smile on them because the sun is something tough. What do you mean? In the daytime, we sweat a lot and it's hot. It does not bring any good for us. But you can smile and put on your torch, right? This is the time that we want to relax. What is this evening bed, Putta? And they have compared evening bed. Again, it's a metaphor, Putte. What is this evening bed? It is like earth bed. That means most of the people, right? After a tiring day, they go to relax to their houses. So evening bed is considered to the family. We can say the family gathering, right? Family gathering, earth bed. So we call it a metaphor, Putte. And it's a symbol, evening bed. Their family gathering, family unity, family love, the bond. For that bond, please bright your torch and smile on them. They are innocent people, right? I will tell you who are these people, right? Now we are just talking about nature. Later on, I'll tell you who are these people. Again, they say, smile on your loves. Now don't ever think these are about lovers. No, smile on our loves. Who are these loves, children? These loves means our immediate family. Your mother, father, your teachers, your friends, your sisters, your aunties and uncles, your neighbors, loved ones, all. So you smile. Smile on them. Smile. Smile on our loves. And while what you have to do, you have to thou again. Draw us the blue curtains of the sky. Again, it's a metaphor there. What is this blue curtains? Now, when we draw the curtains, we pull the curtain key on samahara velawa. When we want to pull a curtain, we call it we'll draw the curtain. Now, what is drawing the curtains in the sky? What is happening, children? Drawing the curtains means? That means this evening star is preparing the night to be very calm and cool atmosphere for the innocent people. Drawing the curtains. Now, children, when we go to sleep, do you like to open the curtains and sleep, or do you like to close it and sleep? Because it gives us relaxation. If not, you can see everything from the glass. Birds are flying, or planes are flying on the, they are flying, and maybe lot of things, and light. Here and there, vehicle lights, because we can see these type of things. When we close the curtains, it's like a meditation center. You close them and you close your eyes, you're very relaxed because it's darkness inside. So this is what this evening star trying to do, drawing the blue curtains to give some relaxation. Who is doing it? It is done by Venus. Blue curtains of the sky, scatter thy silver dew. Scatter means putte ihinamak, scatter thy silver dew. What is silver dew? Now children, apite ammala kiyanone edita bahinda pini baano kiyan, that is the word, thy silver dew. the dew that comes from heaven, it's silver. Why did I tell you that fair-haired angel is silver? Because here they say the silver dew, and we can see the star as silver because the sun is bright yellow, shining golden color, and we can see the sun, what do you call, the evening star separately as a shining, silver color object. That's why I told you silver color. So the silver dew comes, and they say, blue curtains of the scatter thy silver dew. And they say, on every flower that shuts its sweet eyes. So now this poet is concerned about the little tiny things in the nature. What are the nature things? Tiny things, huh? It is a symbol flower. Later on, I will tell you what are these symbols.